Silence is a scary thing, right? It leaves us vulnerable. It leaves us in a place where we have to be open before God. And it can be scary. And I think for us, we live in a society that's driven by fear. I don't know if you know this, but 1 in 20 people actually suffer from anxiety, clinical anxiety in the UK. So the likelihood is, in a room about the size of this, so about 80 people, 4 people suffer from anxiety, suffer from fear on a clinical scale. Did you know that 9 national leaders across the world, including our own, have on the end of their fingertips, they have access to 15,000 nuclear weapons and can launch them at any time, at any country across the globe. Isn't that a scary thought? It just shows how far the world has gone. And we have to ask the question as Christians, we have to sit here and go, why is the world like this? Why is the world like this? And the question is, why do people build higher and higher walls, produce bigger and bigger weapons to push people away? And it's all because of a search for security, a search for a place where they can be safe and where they can be who they are. You see, we're all afraid of something. We're afraid of maybe it's finances, making a good impression at work, debt, not being loved, not being accepted. The fact is, we live in a world that's dominated by fear and is dominated by heavy weapons, it says. And that's what I'm going to be talking on today, is the heavy weapons of this world and the heavy weapons of God's world. If you'd like to turn with me to Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." I don't know about you, but I noticed some quite big differences between the weapons that God gives us to go out into this world and the weapons that this world has turned on each other. And I've got 3 differences that I want to go into. The first is this: destruction is less than healing. This world's weapons, the weapons of this world, offer up destruction, whereas the weapons of God offer up healing. It was Spurgeon that said that the word of God is the only sword on the planet that when it cuts deep, it heals. Ephesians 6, the passage we've just read, calls the word of God a sword. However, this sword that it's talking about isn't one designed to destroy. Instead, it's designed to heal us. Many of you can recall the story of the centurion in Matthew 8. And this is a guy who essentially has the power of the whole Roman army behind him. He has 80 men fully armed with the highest military gear of the day. It's like the SAS at his hand. And he finds his servant was paralyzed. And the thing is, with all this centurion's might, with all the centurion's power, with all the weapons at his disposal, he didn't have a single thing that could heal his servant. He didn't have a single thing to hand, a single tool to hand that could heal him. And he comes to Jesus, this man in authority, and he says, I am not worthy of you. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Just say the word. And surely, Jesus says that because of his belief, his servant will be healed. And his servant was healed instantly. This is the difference between the weapons of this world and the weapons that God has at his disposal. He says the word, and we are healed. He fires one shot at us, one word, and we're healed. And maybe that's all we want today, is we just want Jesus to say that one word of healing to counteract the destruction that things around us have caused us. We just want that one word from Jesus. Why did Jesus heal the centurion's servant? Simply because the centurion believed that God's word was enough. God's word is enough. You see, there's power in this word. There's power in the sword of the Spirit. Do we believe today that God's word is enough when we come into these problems? Or are we going barehanded or getting our own weapons and picking our own weapons up and trying to defend ourselves in different ways? Trying to put on different weapons and trying to protect ourselves? Or are we leaning into the word of God and saying, that is enough. That's enough for me. All that Christ asks for us is for us to believe it. That's a crazy thought, isn't it? All he asks for us to do is to believe that his word is enough. Many of us lose hope at these questions that the world throws at us. And we start to doubt the healing power of God's word. But this is the first difference. This is the first difference between the weapons of this world and the weapons in God's arsenal. So, the second difference. Weapons of this world are created to encourage fear, encourage chaos, whereas the word of God is encouraged, it encourages to have this peace, this all-surpassing peace. The psalmist writes in Psalm 119, great peace have those who love your word. Great peace have those who love your word. Not only have we got to believe the word like the centurion and believe that it's going to happen, we have to love the word. We have to believe that it can have this impact in us. We have to love it and take it on as the word of God. And through the loving of the word, we start to hear what it says to us. We start to hear the promises that it washes over us. And the security that we've been searching for, in light of all these false walls that we've put up, is found here, is found in this peace. Peace is found in God's word. Every one of us has fears, right? I said that at the start. And we know that fear is rooted in uncertainty. Essentially, we're scared of things that we can't make sure of. However, we know that the word of God is the cornerstone of our faith. It is the cornerstone that we can go to, that we can depend on, that we can rely on, that we can continually go back to. When we feel like we don't believe, when we feel scared, when we feel that there's nothing in this world left to hold on to, God gives us peace. He gives us peace. And no battle is too big. No battle is too big for God to bring peace. Each one of us has struggles. And it might be that the world says you're guilty, you're unclean. It says in God's word, you're a temple of my spirit and you are no longer a slave to sin. It might be that the world says you are worthless. God's word says in Ephesians 2:10 that you are his workmanship, created uniquely for his purpose. If you feel unloved, God says nothing can separate you from my love. God's word gives us peace. This summer, I worked in France, and I was working with Spring Harvest. I don't know if you guys know. It is an organization. But I was on their speaking team for their 16 to 18s, and at the end of one of the sessions, this boy comes up to me, and he's called Joshua. And he was dressed in black from head to toe. He had a long-sleeve shirt on, which, if you're a youth worker, is a pretty telltale sign of self-harm. And he comes up to me, and his sister's there, called Esther. And she goes, "Phil, can you just pray with Josh? Can you just pray with Josh? Because he doesn't know what to do. He's depressed. He's hurting himself. And he doesn't feel any peace. He feels like he's living in chaos." And so I took Josh aside. We went and got some chairs out and put them in the corner of the room. And I started praying over him. And I really felt God saying, just pray scripture. Just pray like things that, I teach you in my word. Teach him that he is the light of the world, that he is loved, that he is fearfully and wonderfully made. And as I started speaking these words, as I started speaking the words of God, these promises of God that he gives to us, Joshua slowly starts to break into tears. And it's slow at first, and I didn't even realize because I had my eyes shut. But he's crying, and eventually I open my eyes, and him and his sister Esther are both in tears in front of me. And they say, "We have never felt a peace so strong as that." Later on, he comes back to me, and this is the day before he goes home. And he says, "Phil, I've still really been struggling. This week, I found it really difficult." And so again, I was like, "I'll take you aside." This was actually during a social evening, so we had all like manic games going on in the other half of the room. And I took him aside, and we sat down next to a fire exit. And it, similar to this, we just sat on the floor. And again, I start praying, and it seems like nothing's happening. But then, after I finish, he looks up at me and he says, "Phil, when you were praying, I felt your hand on one shoulder and I felt God's on the other." How incredible is that? God gives us peace. God's with us in fear. So that's the second difference between the weapons of this world and the weapons that God uses. The last difference that I want to talk about is death and life. The weapons of this world are designed to take away life, are designed to remove it from us, and are designed to cause sorrow and suffering. Whereas Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He says, "I am the life." Jesus, the Word of God, says, "I am the life." It's not just nuclear missiles. It's not just the things that I listed at the start that give us that fear that we face. It could be anything. What are the weapons that are pointed at you today? What weapons has the enemy lined up against you? Maybe it is fear. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's illness. God's word brings life into each one of those situations. When we feel overcome, God lifts us from the water and gives us a hope. Another story from the Bible is that one particularly resonates with me is Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones. And we think about our lives, and sometimes we can be in that valley, right? Sometimes we can look around us and think that all that's around us is death and destruction, and it's things going wrong. And most of the time with me, that's SA, actually. And, you know, like, I really find peace when God speaks to me while I'm doing SA and just says, you know, I put you here for a purpose at Moorlands. I've put you in here for a purpose, and I'm going to bring to completion that good work that I've started in you. And basically, Ezekiel finds himself walking through this valley and walking through these bones and this and all of this destruction. And God asks him, Ezekiel, will these bones live again? And I think Ezekiel plays the wisest card that he probably could have. And he goes, only you know, Lord. Only you know. I don't think he wanted to, you know, place his bets on answering it. And the Lord essentially, just after that, this great wind, the word of God, rushes into the valley. And the bones put themselves together again. And there's life. In these situations that we think are hopeless, God's word is the weapon that we need, that gives life, the only weapon that heals. Some of you are probably sitting here thinking, will these dry bones live again? Maybe it's an old faith you had in Jesus and you've still got it there. There's still a spark. And maybe like the centurion, you believe the word, but you definitely don't love it anymore. You've stopped reading it. You've stopped taking it in and you feel this life going from you. Well, Jesus speaks to us now and he says, I am the life. I am all you need. You don't need anything but me. So these are the differences. And I think one of the great things that we can all take from this, not only does the weapon of God affect us, but as Christians, we all have access to the weapon of God. It's given to us in our hand, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Therefore, we need to have to think about the unarmed, the people who walk defenseless, the people who don't have the word of God in them. God has given you hope. God has called you the light of the world. You carry the weapon of God in you through his Spirit. And the reality is, as a church, we're located in Christ Church, and there's people around us who are unarmed, who face these struggles without the hope of God. And not just in Christ Church, but all around the world as well. I've actually got this band on my hand here. And don't worry, I haven't turned Catholic, and it isn't rosary beads. it's actually from, do you know Canon Andrew White? Otherwise known as the Bishop of Baghdad. He uses Saddam Hussein's throne room as his chapel. This guy is certified legend. But this band, he gave it to each one of us Moorland students. And it's actually a band made by a Syrian girl. And each knot here represents the members of her family that have died because of war. And that sounds like a pretty depressing thing on a wristband. But in the middle of it all is this. And it's the cross. It's the power of the resurrection. There are unarmed people in this world, all around us. We have been given a weapon that brings healing, that brings peace, that brings life. A weapon is no good when it just stays in its sheath. We've got to go out and we've got to do it. We've got to step up to the challenge. Once we let the word hit us, we have to go out and bring it to other people. We're Twynham Church for the community, as it was said before. How great would it be if we could be a church that transforms the community of Christ Church through the bringing of the word? How great would it be if we could restore hope to Christ Church, to Bournemouth, to Poole, How great would it be if we didn't lose that vision for the community?